News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk. State representative for the 116th District, Jerry Costello II. First off, Jerry, long time no speak. How you been, man? Good?
It's been a wild time, and I'm just happy that it seems like spring is finally here.
Yeah, I know. You're not the only one at this point. There's a lot of people. Now, in your district, too, the farmers would just like the fields be able to dry enough to get their spring work done.
So. You're exactly right. You know, it's just like, in the Carterville area, I bet 70% of every business dollar transacted in my district is ag-related.
Right.
So, yeah, the sooner the farmers can get out in the field and get the crops planted, the better off we are.
Right. They were concerned. I got a cousin who still farms, and he'd been sticking the thermometer in the ground every day to see what the temperature was and said, still not warm enough to germinate a seed, you know, and actually published stuff this weekend on his Facebook page. I planted this in, you know, like April or something, and it still hadn't started to even germinate. So, hey, a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, and number one on this, and this is something I'm watching very close, and that is, and this, of course, caught my attention during the gubernatorial primaries, to talk about progressive taxes, in particular J.B. Pritzker. There's a piece of legislation now that shocked me. Anybody from $7,000 above tax increase, $7,000 a year, anybody between $17,000 and $225,000, a 7% state income tax, and then you came out swinging on progressive taxes in a resolution.
You know, Tom, I signed on to House Resolution 891, which is a resolution that Dave McSweeney is carrying, and it's against the progressive income tax. One thing that's bothered me for the last several years is this idea of a progressive income tax has been rolled out a number of times, and it's rolled out as this seemingly magic solution that's going to solve all of our financial woes in the state of Illinois. And, if you look at what's gone on over really the last couple of decades and the fiscal mismanagement that's taken place in our state, it's no wonder that taxpayers and the people of the state of Illinois, don't trust their government. And I don't blame them right now. I think politicians and representatives need to show that they're good stewards of the people's money in this state.
And here's the thing, don't trust is one thing, right? But another is when you've come to the point where you leave your home state because you see these things coming and you don't think you can financially manage them. It's not worth it to stay here. That probably, out of all the issues, probably is the one that scares me the most.
I totally agree with you. If you look at, the tax increase that took place in 2011 under Pat Quinn, I think it was about a 67% tax increase. That was supposed to pay down the debt of the state of Illinois. Well, what ended up happening, about half of the increase went to paying back debt, and about the other half, roughly, went to new services. It's absolutely ludicrous. And, we've got a lot of things that we need to do to get our house in order here in the state. And at the end of the day, a major tax increase on the people of Illinois is just not the way to do it, and it's not right.
So what effect would this resolution have, Representative?
So, if you look at, there's 51 Republicans. 50 of them have signed on to, a similar resolution. I know Dave's got quite a few co-sponsors on his as well. I am the only Democrat that has signed on right now. And at the end of the day, it essentially says that a constitutional amendment for a progressive income tax is dead because there's not the 71 votes in the House of Representatives to get that done. And Tom, as you know, what's really interesting about this whole scenario is we've actually passed the time to when a constitutional amendment could be put on the ballot for this election.
Right.
So, we're really talking about 2020.
And what's interesting, and when I spoke, including with speaking with J.B. Pritzker about this and saying, well, we'll need to get a constitution, he was kind of quick to kind of push that aside, saying we can do this other ways. When you look around, here's because J.B. Pritzker, the first thing he would tell to me when I say to me when we were talking about this on the air was, the states around us have these. Granted, they do. But the state of Illinois taxes you on a lot of things that those other states don't, including a property tax that continues on. And you know what's interesting about the proverb of the straw that broke the camel's back? And I think it often gets glazed over because it's such a well-known proverb, is in the proverb, you don't know which straw it is. And I think that's where we are in Illinois. Which straw is it?
You're exactly right. And, you know, it's probably, you know, the most frequent call that I take in my office, at least the second most frequent, is about property taxes. And most people realize that we're the second highest in the United States. It's just one thing on top of another, on top of another. And as you said, at what point do we reach a breaking point? We already have an exodus of people, you know, moving out of the state. You know, we just keep making it worse. And in my opinion, this would only make it that much worse.
You know, another item, this is the way I wanted to start the interview, is asking you, how'd you do a turkey hunt last week?
Actually, that was the pressing issue. Very well.
Good.
So I was in Nebraska for a couple of days, killed a Rio and a Merriam. So I've killed an Eastern, a Rio, a Merriam now, and I've got my Osceola to finish my Grand Slam. I absolutely love turkey hunting. Take my daughters out. I take kids out as often as I can, and it's one of my favorite things to do.
You know, it's interesting because when you and I were talking about coming on the show, we'd not discussing this subject, but you've also came out and said, look, FOID cards in Illinois, do away with them. You know, and between these two items of progressive taxes and coming out against the FOID card, a lot of people are probably looking at the end of your name for a D or an R.
You know, if you would take names, you know, and take it out and just compare voting records, I think I would probably come up more conservative than about 2/3 to 3/4 of the Republicans in the House.
Well, it was like Jerry Costello Sr. coming out in favor of coal.
Tom, my father taught me a long time ago to just do what's right. Not worry about what's Republican, not worry about what's Democrat. Do what's right for the people of Southern Illinois in my district. And, you know, things will work out.
But this FOID card issue at this time is one of the hottest issues. And, of course, the fact that Illinois has a FOID card is very often forgotten in the national debate. Speaking of which, I think the NRA just gave you some type of ranking that was really high, too. Just thinking about that.
The NRA called me the top gun for the state of Illinois, and I've got an A-plus ranking with the NRA as a Democrat.
But you've at the same time got a large group of young people in this country to say, our lives over money, the NRA's money, and campaign contributions. Like I said, probably one of the most anti-democratic things and I don't mean that in a facetious way, Jerry. Right now, I mean the vicious nature of this debate and after the gun shootings, taking this stand. Brandon Phelps took this stand in Southern Illinois. Can you do something about FOID cards? Are they useless? Is it just a point of revenue? Because, like I said, using them to track down people, I can't tell you on one hand that I've ever seen more than 3 or 4 people charged with FOID card breaking them, even though they've committed violent crimes.
Tom, I say that all the time. You know, at the end of the day, number one, the FOID card is duplicative in the state of Illinois. People are run through the NICS system, and there's a background check done on the federal level. You go back to the Brady Law that was enacted in, I believe, is 86. Everything that is occurring for the FOID card, with the exception of maybe just a couple of things, is already taking place on the national level. So it's really just one more hoop that people in the state of Illinois have to go through to express their constitutional rights, and it's wrong.
Now, the Constitution of the state of Illinois, Second Amendment, is subject to the police powers, I believe is the exact term in the Illinois Constitution, correct?
Yes.
So how would you like to change the FOID cards? If you just get ultimate control on this, what needs to be done in relationship to gun control in Illinois and the FOID card?
You know, Tom, it's interesting, and I'm going to answer this in a little bit of a long way, but I want you to think about this. Here's what I think needs to be done in the state of Illinois. If you look at how concealed and carry was passed in the state of Illinois, we actually sat down, negotiated it out. So I know this is a crazy concept, but we had five Republicans, five Democrats from the House, five Republicans, five Democrats from the Senate, and we had some of the stakeholders at the table, and we negotiated the process out. So what I can tell you is in the state and really in the country, everybody agrees that we need to look at mental health standards, because there are some people in this country that should not possess a gun, period.
Right.
People that are a danger to themselves, people that are a danger to others, people who have, you know, mental illness, and also criminals. There are things that we can do in the state of Illinois, in this country, to enforce laws on mental health, which, in my opinion, will truly change gun violence in this state and also in the country.
It
doesn't have to be as divisive as people are making it.
It's interesting, Jerry, when I was speaking with 116th State Representative Jerry Costello II, I was reading this story in the Associated Press yesterday, caught my attention, and I was just sharing it with our listeners a couple of moments ago. It's about a nightclub in Peoria called Saddle Up. They stay open until 4 in the morning. It's a country-themed bar, and what they have started is what they call the safe or club in confidence. If you come into their bar, you've got to show your ID. They check the barcode on the back, and if you've been arrested for violent crimes that show up in the past 7 years, you're denied entry into the bar. And I'm thinking, these people say they can do this in 30 seconds. Why can't we do something very similar? If they can do this and know, why can't we? Why can't we as a state? Why can't we as a gun dealer have access to this, speed this up, open the doors, and have some confidence in our ability to handle technology?
Exactly right. I will tell you what I told the sponsor of the gun dealer licensure bill. I said, look, there are things that no responsible gun owner wants. Number one, straw purchases in the state of Illinois. We should throw the book at people who do straw purchases in the state of Illinois. When you're buying a gun for somebody, you know, illegally, and you're transferring that gun to them, we should throw the book at them. Repeat offenders, people that have had violent gun crimes, they get out of prison, whatever the case may be, and then they commit another crime with a gun. Obviously, they're not supposed to have it. We should throw the book at them. Those are things that we should be able to agree on. Both sides should agree on.
And that's interesting that you said this, and here's why. Because when I asked about this gun store license in Springfield and Chicago, where I now make phone calls to learn things, they said, you know, this law is about two stores just outside of Chicago, outside of the area, that are selling guns, and they've gotten in the hands of other people. Then why are we going after every single gun owner in the entire state when you've got two in close proximity? Why don't you go use the law to stop it instead of this new law for everyone? And, of course, that leads people into start thinking about conspiracy theories is because they want to take all of our guns. That's the real reason. And you understand why when you take a look at all these things that are done and just listen to you saying, hey, well, we've got opportunities. Let's go take care of these guys. If somebody's doing something wrong, let's go get them.
Tom, to your point exactly, and think about this number. 90% of crimes that are committed with guns that are traced back to a gun store, they come from 5% of the stores in the state of Illinois. 5%. And I shouldn't say just in the state of Illinois, because one of the stores they come from is a Cabela's, right across the border in Indiana.
Right.
So literally 87% of gun dealers in the state of Illinois, not one criminal act committed with a gun, has that gun ever been traced back to them. 87%. And yet we want to impose this on every dealer in the state. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the governor says he's going to veto it, so I guess we'll see what happens next. You know, the environment right now and the pressure because of social media and out of Florida, you know, and boycotts and everything else, people are hypersensitive, and I'm not that. That's probably an understatement. Hypersensitive about this, and it's going to be a trying time, I think, going forward for so many gun owners. Now, you don't want, before I let you go, because I'm running out of time. You got a thought on SIUC and SIUE and all the people that are in your district that work at one or other of those locations, and whether those campuses should be split for financial reasons?
Tom, I do not believe the campuses should be split. I think that just to be blunt, we lose clout as SIU, as Southern Illinois, if you split two campuses.
Right.
And you know, let's be honest. You know, for the last 50 or 60 years, Carbondale, for probably 40 some of those years, did much better than Edwardsville did. And at that point in time, you know, they didn't look at splitting the campuses. Edwardsville is doing a little bit better than Carbondale, say the last decade or so. You know, we need to find a way to work this out. We need, in my opinion, keep the two campuses together as one system.
Yeah, well, it's the old theory there. You know, either we stand together or we fall separately. Before I let you go, we've got a little time left in the session. I assume you and I both have one golden ring that we're looking at, knowing what we know. You've been state rep now since 2011, is that right?
Correct, sir.
Right. You know, you're through the learning curve. You know what's going on around you. You know where the bathrooms are. So what we're looking at now, I think the gold ring is a budget.
It is, Tom. And, you know, I as we talked about it for a couple of minutes before we came on, I just, you know, I hope and pray that both the governor, the speaker, and the Senate president realize that everybody in the state of Illinois is better with a balanced budget. You know, we need to get away from politics and just do what's right for the people. And, you know, back to the conversation earlier, we have got to restore faith in government in the state of Illinois. And we need to be truthful with people. And we need to move towards some fiscal sanity in the state.
Fiscal sanity. I don't even know what it looks like.
Unfortunately, it's been a long time.
You know, and here's the thing, because I was speaking with Susana Mendoza, the comptroller, earlier this week, the offshoring, you know, the more transparency about where money's going when it comes to interest rates, interest, I should say, not the rates in particular. There are a lot of opportunities for us to learn at this opportunity and learn from our mistakes. If nothing else, that we cannot afford to keep doing this. The people of the state of Illinois have reached, well, we don't know which straw is going to break the proverbial camel's back, but we know it's probably somewhere close to the back in the spinal column of the camel at this point, right? I think we can agree on that, can't we?
I think we're very close, very close. And it's a scary proposition that, you know, the point that we're at.
Right. You know, the more turkeys you kill, Jerry, the more morel mushrooms the rest of us get to find, so...
Well, that's a deal. I'll work on my part of the bargain, and you find your morel.
You know, it's interesting because I was a morel usher running with a turkey hunter, and he says, "I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them all. They're eating all my mushrooms." You can tell where they were at in the big scratched out areas there. So, you know, I appreciate your time, and I hope to get an opportunity to speak to you again, because these next two weeks of the session, very important for the state of Illinois, and I hope we get an opportunity to speak again soon.
Sounds great, Tom. Hey, thank you so much.